Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Oh, well, welcome in. I have my headset on. Got my
You're all ready.
Yeah, I got my iPad. You and Process can't make fun of me because of that. And I'm trying to pull up some Ryder Cup information.
I think it's going pretty well. The last update I saw, Cantlay and Scheffler were the last duo to tee off in the four matches this morning, and they were three up through three holes. they were going against Ian Poulter and who?
Poulter and McIlroy.
McIlroy.
And Poulter is a guy that has 14 Ws in the Ryder Cup.
They said he was strutting. I love this. I was listening to it on the Golf Channel on the radio coming in, and at what golf match do you have to tell the crowd to be quiet before a guy tees off? When Poulter sauntered up to the first tee, they had to ask the crowd two or three times to please be quiet.
And the crowd is supposed to be primarily USA because the Euros couldn't get in.
Yeah, because of travel restrictions.
COVID. I liked Thomas and Spieth led off, and Louisville's own Justin Thomas. Now, they're two down through eight, so there's plenty of time. I would say if they could get that down to even by about 12, they'll be okay.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
John Rahm.
Pretty good.
He's really good. He's really good.
And you know Garcia, he's good. He'll hit some big shots. He'll do some big stuff out of nowhere. He's a gamer.
Oh man, Cantlay and Shoffley won the fourth hole. They're four up through four holes.
But they're five up.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
I'm ahead of you. They're five up through five.
Wow.
Yep.
And Koepka and Berger are one up.
Yep.
And Johnson and Morikawa one up. Is that what you have?
That's what I got.
And Rahm and Garcia are two up on Thomas and Spieth.
Well, now you'll have to help me. Who is Berger playing with Koepka?
Daniel Berger.
Yeah, I don't know that.
He's one of those kind of under the radar guys. Doesn't win a lot, but he's always top 10. He had a commercial starting a year or two ago. He had a commercial that they played during the golf matches, and I had to look him up. I had no idea the guy's doing a national commercial. I had no idea who he was. But I mean, obviously he's good enough to be on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, and I wondered who in the heck he was because I don't watch all the tournaments, right? I try to highlight the big ones. So I had a question, but here's interesting. Tony Finau makes the statement that we have a team with no scar tissues. There's only a handful of us who have ever played in a Ryder Cup, and a few of those we have winning records, so we actually don't have guys on our team that have lost a lot in the Ryder Cup. We've got a whole different group of young guys that are hungry. A little different way to look at it.
And he said they don't have any scar tissue.
Yeah. Who do you think he was referring to there?
There's a bunch of first-timers in this.
Six rookies.
Yeah.
Six rookies.
Yeah. You all right over there?
I am. My iPad just did a El Foldo, did an accordion job on me. Now, while we're on this topic, you know I looked up, you and I were sitting in there pre-show,
During our show preparation.
Yeah, doing our BS preparation. We've already done our show prep.
Most of our show prep was was trying to find coffee cups.
What kind of company do we work for?
You don't even have coffee cups.
What'd they do? Hide them, process? There was a bunch
of
them.
Huh? There's a box, right? There's a big box of them.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
Give me five seconds. All right, we're going to give process 5 seconds. Anyway, how about this? The history of the Ryder Cup pay. British players received money for travel and a kit allowance to pay for proper outfits. That's when it started, okay? Now, the profit structure all is in favor. It's a little different in the sporting world. PGA of America owns the rights to the product. They also split profits with the European Tour. The PGA of America takes the profits at a 5-to-1 ratio when the event is hosted in the U.S. When the event...
Look at the boxing cups he's got in there.
All right. Right on, process. Gets the gold medal for the weekend. So the PGA is 5-to-1 when it's in the U.S. The event is hosted in Europe, as the case in the 18 Ryder Cup. The Euro Tour claims 60% of the profits. Now, you want to know how much the American players make?
I thought it was nothing, but am I wrong?
Well, there is no prize money, obviously, but the PGA of America splits profits with the players, with $200,000 reportedly given to charity in each American player's name.
Yeah.
That money is split evenly between the educational charities and charities of a player's choosing. Players used to receive no financial incentive to appear, but beginning in 1999 in Brooklawn, Massachusetts, they started this deal. So in the Euros, they don't no prize money, too,
right.
Even now. So, yeah. It's interesting in the world of sports that that's the kind of deal somebody would cut.
But it's so prestigious to be.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these guys are making more money on their endorsements than they're making on the pro tour. So I know they don't get to wear their hats of their sponsors or their outfits of the sponsors. They have to wear their Ryder Cup uniforms. But, I mean, there's still the name recognition. I mean, the next time you see Daniel Berger in competition, you'll know who he is.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's definitely some benefits. But, I think that's great. They give the money to charity. They do this primarily for pride in their country. And so, good for them.
It's a USA versus Europe event. It is a, but here's
isn't,
my,
isn't John Rahm from South Africa?
Well, that's Europe, isn't it? they stretch the limits with John Rahm. Anybody can play over there outside of the United States, I guess, can play, be a Euro.
Can be a Euro, okay.
Yeah. All right. Here's where my thinking was going. You don't see anything like that in pro sports. You make the All-Star game, you get some money.
Yeah.
Now, usually, the winning team donates X amount of dollars to a charity of their choice, but they get some money.
Yeah.
When you go to the Olympics, when you get money too. That was always a interesting point with the NCAA. These swimmers and divers who many times still have college left, they can go back, keep their eligibility, and if they win over there or wherever, they make money.
Yeah. Well, amateur sports no longer exist. Let's be real clear about that. Now, there might be some rules that you can kind of keep your amateur status, but everybody's making money. Everybody that's any good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you wonder why players want to name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
But to go to name, image, and likeness process, what do you think? What do you think of the guys that people have decided they're going to advertise with in their performance already?
I mean, look, you got DJ Ukulele, as we call him. He's been disappointing, but, you got to plant the seeds. I believe he's only a sophomore, which means he'll have one more year. So I guess, you got to take a lot of shots and hope that they hit. I mean, guys like Spencer Rattler have not been as advertised thus far, but I still think, it's okay. It's only three games in. and they've still got time to really go in and make something of themselves and make it a good return on investment. We talked about it on the Diener Show a couple days ago. Arch Manning could potentially earn up to like $5 million. The early estimates are showing. Arch Manning sounds like he's on track to, before he even plays a snap in college, be richer than all of us by a very large stretch. And it's entirely possible. The problem is, if he doesn't end up being the quarterback prospect we all expect him to be, then, God, that company's going to be doomed.
So you're telling me, and think about this, Dan Issel, you're telling me, and I heard he's quite a prospect, and, you know, his dad was a hell of a player, and Eli, and
the whole family.
Yeah.
The last name.
No kidding. But, I mean, don't you think that's just – I mean, if I was a potential teammate and I had this guy, Joe Schmoke, Arch Manning, I don't care who it is, comes in with $1 million, $2 million deal. He's never taken a snap, and I'm out there busting my buns. And I'm all for name, image, and likeness, but I think – that we've gone overboard with these projected guys, okay, versus the guys who have done something. Would you all agree or disagree?
Yeah, Mike, but that's the world we live in.
But you wouldn't have given...
What I would do, instead of being out there busting my hump in practice, I'd be trying to be his college roommate. That's what I'd be trying to do. Hey, Arch, let's go over to Ruth Chris Steakhouse tonight for dinner. What do you say?
We're not going to IHOP. We're going to Ruth Chris.
Yeah. The Waffle House is out.
But, I mean, I think that's one of the issues that name, image, and likeness has. Now, some schools have dealt with it differently as to who gets the money and, you know, who performs well enough to get the money. And does it affect your locker room? Everybody says, no, will not affect our locker room. That is BS.
Well, yeah, it probably is.
They're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. They're not pros, Dan.
But you know, Mike, that's the real world.
Yeah,
the real world is the good, the great players, where no matter what the sport, men or women's, the great players are going to benefit from it. And I think to a certain extent. Now, you know, we live in a world of participation ribbons. You don't get a blue, a red, or a white ribbon anymore. Everybody gets a green ribbon for participation. So maybe
don't worry about the stats or the W's and L's. You just played.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. That's like the old 2.5 men episode. When they go to a soccer game, and Jake says he comes in after the soccer game, and he said we got killed, and his dad says nobody got killed, nobody won, nobody lost, and Jake says it was 12-2, and Charlie said, yeah, this doesn't matter who wins or loses. You should have thought about that before you taught them how to count.
I love that show. I try to watch the reruns. Marcia and I try to watch reruns all the time. It's hilarious.
So, you know, it may be a participation ribbon, but those kids know who came in first, second, and third.
Well, Process sent me a message that says we're going to have an update, right? About 10 seconds, we're going to have a Ryder Cup update that will follow up Dan Issel's Ryder Cup update.
Good. Good.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 43rd Ryder Cup. I'm Erica Herskowitz. Foursomes are highlighting the opening morning at the Ryder Cup, and Ryder Cup rookies Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele are dominating in the fourth match for the U.S.
Xander gets this ball up on the crest of the ridge, now rolling down towards the hole. This is a good-looking putt. He's buried it. What a putt.
Carl Paulson with the call on Westwood 1. Rory McIlroy went on to miss a birdie, which would have tied it for Europe. So Cantlay and Schauffele moved to 5-up through 6 against McIlroy and Ian Poulter after Europe managed to tie the 6th hole. Meanwhile, it's been back and forth in Group 1. Americans Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are facing world number 1 Jon Rahm and Sergio Garcia, and Europe is now up 2-up through 9 holes. In the second match, the Americans are 1-up through 7, and in match 3, the U.S. is 1-up through 7. Erica Herskowitz, Westwood 1 Sports.
Oh, come on! 4! There it is.
In golf, the right adjustments can make all the difference. We feel the same way about financial planning. With Fidelity Wealth Management, your dedicated advisor will work with you to create a personalized plan for your full financial picture. And as your needs change, they'll help you make adjustments so you can stay on target. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
911, what's your emergency?
This car, an SUV, it was going across, it went around the barrier and the train. Oh, God.
Ma'am, did a train hit an SUV? Is that what happened?
Yes, the train is still going. The train is going, and the car, I can't believe it.
You can't judge the speed of an approaching train. That's why the signals are there. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
And, Michael, you know there's a lot going on this weekend. The Ryder Cup will certainly be on my agenda. All kinds of football, horse racing. You don't want to spend time in the kitchen. You can't waste time cooking. You got to get a pizza from
Bear Nose. Absolutely.
Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. You can carry out, or they have delivery. All Bear Nose are now delivering alcohol. Stop by the Bowman Field store. See our friend there, Rob Moody, and he'll fix you up. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
If you want a nice grilled chicken salad, which I saw you have one time.
Yep.
Good-looking salad. Big salad, very fresh. And also, I tried their sandwiches.
You had a sub, didn't you?
I had a sub, yeah. Sandwich? And I've had one before. They have really good sandwiches, yeah. So we'll stop by and see Rob. We'll be out there sometime in October, November.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that, but we've got a promotion coming up during basketball season where you and I will be having lunch at the Bowman Field store. We haven't quite decided how you will. I was going to say win, but I don't know if that's a win having lunch with me and you. But a listener will be able to have lunch with us at Bear Nose Pizza.
And I'm sure they'll want to have a shoot off with you. They'll want to have a shoot off with the Hall of Famer. So we got to find a basket. You know, you have lunch and then you go out and beat him out of $10. Look at Crean. Look at Crean. Crean's coming. He likes that. He likes it.
You know, we never followed up. We've got a $100 gift certificate. Yeah.
We got to get Kevin.
Yeah. With Kevin Granger at one of his restaurants. We never followed up on that. We need to get.
I know. We'll have to do that.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you got to shave. We can't. And
I'll shave for that. I've been a little lazy with the beard lately.
Sherry and I were at Churchill Downs last night, and we saw a couple walking by with lilies, and your name came up.
There we go. My favorite drink there.
Yeah, we might have a hard. If anybody has heard your update from Bloomington last week. We may have a hard time finding somebody who wants to go.
I don't
on a
think
date
that was lilies fueled. I think that was bourbon fueled.
Especially
on Saturday, it was not bourbon, but it was fueled.
Well, you were obviously drunk at 10 o'clock in the morning. How did that happen?
Well, I mean, it was a noon kickoff. So that was the first time that I had actually, you know, tailgated at IU football game since I was probably a sophomore in college because I'd worked the games most of the time. So I was like, yeah, I'll take full advantage and have some fun.
Did all that fuel help you? Did it kind of like slow the game down? Did the players get bigger? I mean, what did it do to your view?
I think it made me more excited, especially, you know, early in the game when Indiana actually played well.
Yeah, well, I think that might be the best way to watch Indiana football the rest of the season.
Well, who throws?
I think that's been the best way to watch him for about eight decades.
they throw more picks. I mean, Penix is. I don't think he's well. He was a much better player last year. I don't think he's well.
He started to show some flashes against Cincinnati that. You know, I guess if you're looking for something positive, that would be the hope that he could get back there at some point. But he hasn't been the same guy that he was last year.
Looking for something positive, Mm-hmm. You know, Dan, the Hoosiers go down to Bowling Green and play.
Right.
And I think this might be – well, Indiana's been there before. But
yeah, 2013.
Outside of Indiana, I think the biggest name team that's come in there to play Western, and I may be wrong, has been Vandy. Okay? So IU's going down there, and I've told Crean. I said, now, Crean, you're a big dog. I mean, a big favorite.
How much? What is the number?
Nine and a half.
Yeah. Nine I wouldn't fool with the 9.5. I'm going to take the over. This could be wide open, wild, wild west shootout in Bowling Green. What do you think, Creaner?
I like it.
There you go. There you go. It's the pick of the day for Crean. That's the pick of the day. No question about it. Hey, you and the cartwheel and the, you know, excitement after a touchdown. Yeah. Did you see the guy from the Miami baseball team hit a home run, and he gets to home plate, and he stops and does the Euro step to touch home plate? Well, how about that one? I thought of you. I'm watching that last night. I had the Major League Baseball Network on, and they showed the guy, and I laughed. I said, boy, Issel's going to love this
one. Yeah, that's really nice.
Is that better or worse than the Lamar Jackson cartwheel?
No, there's nothing worse than the cartwheel.
Yeah,
did you read that he hurt himself
doing the cartwheel?
Yeah,
I know. I didn't
hurt
read
his,
that.
Hurt his hip. Hurt his hip doing because he didn't exactly stick the landing and hurt his hip. Now it's not going to keep him from playing this week, but yeah. Never mind. I said enough about that.
If I want to
see clowns, I'll go to the circus.
that was a great line. Where'd you get that? Was great. Look at Crean. That was beautiful. That was not. We didn't practice this either, did we? That came right from that Wayback Machine, man. Oh, Lordy. Yeah. Well, what do you think about the football this weekend? There's not a lot of great lineups, not a lot of great matchups.
No, I had a hard time for our picks later on in the show. I had a hard time coming up with my four games that were really interesting and that I thought, you know, could be upsets. So we always pick the Kentucky game and the Louisville game. I've got four other games that I think will be of interest.
Well, we were talking earlier about the Carolina Panthers.
Right. Yeah.
And the injury to Christian McCaffrey.
First of all.
And their first round draft pick, like number 9, a linebacker. He just fell. He didn't even have contact.
Right, yeah.
He's out now. Yeah. He's a pretty good player.
I'm really worried about Christian. Connection there.
Right.
Ed, who I know was a wide receiver for the Broncos and now is the head coach. He was the head coach at Valor Christian, where all of his boys, well, I don't know the oldest one. The oldest McCaffrey boy went to Duke, I believe.
He was a
wide receiver. I don't know that he played at Valor Christian, but the other three all played at Valor Christian, and Ed was the head coach there.
Where did Ed play college ball? I remember him playing.
That's a good question.
Stanford, maybe?
I think it might have been Stanford. I think it might have been Stanford because his wife was a soccer player, and they met in college.
Well, I think I got my story right that time.
Yeah, and and that's where Christian went. But I've told this story before. My grandson was, I don't know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade maybe, and he was playing a basketball game. And Christian was there working out all by himself, and he had set up in the hallway back by the locker rooms, he had set up high hurdles, and he was hopping, doing the bunny hop, and coming to a high hurdle and hopping over. And he had like 5 or 6 hurdles, and the sweat was just pouring off of him, and he's going and he's hopping and hopping over high hurdles. And I, when I saw that, I, and this is in the off season, This is during basketball season.
And he was still a high schooler?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know, man, this kid's got a great worth. But I'm worried about him because he's starting to get hurt a lot.
He does a lot of carries, and he's good out of the backfield catching the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's fun to watch, man. He is a fun-to-watch player.
But, you know, those running backs, and we've talked about it before, the life expectancy of an NFL running back is probably lower than any other position on the field because of the hits that they take.
And I think that's why you see, you know, running backs not getting drafted earlier in the draft as much as you used to see also, because, you know, you're only drafting a guy even though he's a stud, and you might only get 2, 3, 4 years out of him.
Yeah, that's true, Green, and they tout – franchises do their ability to find that running back in the third round, the fourth round, or fifth round. And, you know, they come cheaper than the first round guy, and they're going to get dinged up. So that's a key thing. We're going to have Jeff Porcaro, the radio analyst for UK Radio, when we come back from a break. And then at the top of the hour, our friend Paul Rogers, for U of L radio analyst. We're going to get a couple scouting reports. But let me do two things.
Okay.
One, do you know that Florida State has had 3 straight losing seasons? I didn't realize 3.
Hmm.
Okay. So if they don't beat U of L, they might be on their way to 4. And you might as well back the moving truck up to Norvell's house, because he's going to be part of history if they go losing season again.
Yeah, the first time since 1976.
Really?
Yep.
That they've had 3 losing seasons.
Oh, no. That they're 0-3.
Okay. Do you think that moving truck backs up this next week if he doesn't beat U of L?
Ooh, I hope not. I hate that when they fire coaches in the middle of the year in college, but it could happen. I mean, and we're going to talk. You did some deep dive on Southern California.
Well, there was a real interesting article in The Athletic this morning about Southern Cal and how they have gone downhill as far as recruiting is concerned. And so it was very, very interesting reading. And as you said, Mike, your favorite saying is you can't win the Derby with a donkey. And if you're not recruiting players, then, you know, it's tough to win.
Well, we'll get into that article. I want you to help us with that when we come back with Jeff Porcaro.
Right. Like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And if you're looking for something to do this weekend, a beautiful weekend, you can plan your trip to see Kentucky and all the things that Kentucky has to offer by going to KentuckyTourism.com. Wonderful parks, great things to do. Check it out, KentuckyTourism.com. And
yes,
what are you going to tell me about that? Did I get through it okay?
Yeah, no.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's because usually I catch grief on that. So.
No. Because usually when you try to ad lib, it doesn't turn out too well. But no, that was good.
We've got a guy that can ad lib and has done for years. Jeff Porcaro, the radio analyst for JMI UK Sports, presented by Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline. Pick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Who ended up winning the bocce tournament?
You know, we were the second flight, the group I played with, and we won that. But I don't know who won the first flight.
I think it was Maria Montgomery's team, wasn't it?
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So you guys got the little bocce ball trophies, huh?
I did. I've got one that I won before. That it's green. It's on one end of my little landing area in the office, and I got an orange one. An orange one, Pick. I mean, what I should throw that out, shouldn't I? Orange.
Jeff, yeah. Jeff, I didn't win anything. I played
so much in your life. You don't need to win anything. There's no more room in your trophy room.
Well, but the disappointing thing was is I played exceptionally well, but my teammates let me down.
Okay. We'll go with that.
All right, let's talk about this game this weekend in Columbia. Give us a little scouting report. We've been digging and diving into a lot of stats on it, and I caught hell earlier in the week because I had all these stats. But I want to hear it from you. I know you can peel the banana back on this.
Yeah, well, I want to start, instead of looking at numbers, is looking at personnel. And for me, and you know, you guys have played, you've got to have, I call him the dog. You know, you've got to have a guy that makes everybody better, that expects more out of his teammates, who jerks the guy around when he does not do the right thing. I haven't seen that from a Kentucky player yet. Who is their guy or guys, because I think in football you need more than one, in basketball you really only need one, but who is the guy that's going to step forward and become a leader? And I think Josh Pascal's a leader, but he's a nice guy. I mean, a guy that, you know, if it's dark and you're in an alley, you get in a fight, I want that guy next to me. I don't know if they have one or one that stepped forward yet. And I don't think if you've never played a sport, you know what I'm talking about. But I think you have to have that kind of leader. And I haven't seen that one emerge yet for Kentucky. And that's what I'm looking for, especially when you're on the road. You got to have guys that aren't going to get shrink in the huddle. You got guys that are saying, I want the ball or I want to make that play. And that's the guys that I'm looking for to step forward in this game. Because just talking numbers, these two are very similar teams.
Jeff, that's a great point, and it's been my experience. That isn't the guy that hollers and dances. Right. That's the guy that does it on the football field.
Well, and I really think, and you guys know this, when you get to the sidelines or when you get in the huddle, that guy has to come through, and I'm still looking for that guy. But the flip side of that is, how would you like to become a graduate assistant? So you go somewhere, whatever school you go to, and you become a grad assistant. And lo and behold, right before the season starts, the head coach comes to you, and I don't care what sport it is, and says, you've got a year left of eligibility, don't you? And you say, yeah, why? And they go, well, we don't have a quarterback. Can you be our quarterback? And the kid says, okay. And he steps in and becomes the quarterback. Well, that was the situation in South Carolina. And I think that Zeb Nolan did a great job. You know, in the games that he had to play for Luke Doty, it looks as though Doty will be back at quarterback. He's a sophomore, but I just think that is a fantastic story that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about. That this kid was, you know, he finished playing ball and now he's getting into coaching, and then they pull him back and say, "Hey, we need you." Wouldn't you love to have had that happen to you guys if you had one more year?
That would have been great.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool,
Jeff. We had Anthony White on yesterday, and he kind of insinuated that we haven't seen the whole playbook. We talked with him. The offense seems to be all right. A little concerned about the way the defense has played. But do you feel that way? Do you think there's something left in the bag that we might see from this defense?
I do, and here's the reason why. If you're an Anthony, or you're myself watching film and stuff, and let's say I'm playing against Kentucky this week and I'm watching their defense, the first thing that jumps out to me is that they're covering for their cornerbacks. And what I mean by that, they're protecting their cornerbacks. They're playing a lot of zone coverage because they only really have three cornerbacks. You have Dort, and you have Valentine, who are your starters, and you've got Mosley behind them. Because obviously two of those guys are not two guys that they thought were going to be huge keys in that secondary aren't playing. They're part of those six guys that are suspended right now. But so they're playing a lot of coverage where the cornerbacks aren't really out on that island that you always hear people talk about. And you got to remember, this team has been a man-to-man team in the past because they had really good. And all you have to do is look at the NFL and see all the Kentucky players for the defensive backfield that are playing in the NFL. Carrington Valentine is really learning. He's getting so much better. I really like him. I think he's got a great future ahead of him. Sorry, my dog's going crazy. Dog walking by, but I think he's got a great future at corner. But I think you're going to see a little bit more man here this week. They're deep at safety, and the safeties are kind of covering for those cornerbacks. And that's why you're seeing this short passing games teams are playing against Kentucky, because the corners, be it Dorton and Valentine or Mosley, are really given a big cushion. So they're 7 or 8 yards off the ball at snap, and then they're backing up. So what you're seeing happen is these receivers are just running a little 5-yard stop or a little quick out, and the quarterbacks are getting the ball out to them. So that alleviates two things. It alleviates the chance for you to get a sack because the ball's getting out so quickly. So to me, I've got to get those cornerbacks up in those guys' faces. Play a tight man-to-man. You guys in basketball call it getting in their jersey, right? You got to do that. And I think that'll force guys to try to go down the field. And if they do that, Kentucky's really deep with Corker, Ajon, and Devontae Robinson back in the back of the secondary. So I think you might see that a little more man, a little more forcing South Carolina trying to throw the ball down the field.
Well, you mentioned sacks and putting pressure on the quarterback. That's something mm-hmm. Kentucky has not done, Pick. And look at this South Carolina offense. You've got two guys. Lloyd, I believe, is averaging a little over three a carry, and McDowell's a little over four. Now, we have Rodriguez, but it looks to me like they're a run-dependent football team, South Carolina.
Well, I think when you look at Beamer, who's their coach, you just have to look at what his dad did and how he coached. And that's kind of, that's where Shane has learned everything from his dad, Frank, at Virginia Tech, which was a run first and, throw the ball when you have to type of offense. They're going to have a nice big offensive line. They're going to try to dominate the line of scrimmage and run the football. Look, guys, in the Southeastern Conference, you have to be able to run the football to win. I don't care if you're Alabama or you're Vanderbilt. If you can't run the football, you simply can't win in the SEC. I think that's one of the things that Mark Stoops, when he came in here, he said, we are going to be able to be dominant on the offensive and defense lines. You have to do that. And South Carolina, with Beamer, has said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to establish the running game. So to me, it's which run offense shows up. If this is a Kentucky run offense that showed up last week, then Kentucky's going to be in a lot of trouble, because you can't just sit back there and chuck it down the field 60 times. You just can't do that. But if Kentucky can get back behind the big blue wall and have that attitude that we are going to run the football, then they've got a great chance of winning this game. I think this was a toss-up game. I think South Carolina, when the season started, I thought Kentucky was a better team. But I think South Carolina has really played a lot better than I thought they would, having a new coach, a whole new system and everything. This is going to be a tough game. And, there's going to be 85,000 fans there. It's a tough place to play. So if Kentucky comes out and does what they did last week, it's going to be hard to win. They've got to find a way to put pressure on Doty or Nolan, whoever is the quarterback. What they've been doing a lot, guys, is dropping 8 in coverage and, again, trying to protect those corners and only rushing 3. And it has not worked. They have got to rush 4 to be successful. And sometimes, even in key situations, you're just going to have those corners and say, you got that guy all over the field because we're going to blitz. And you've got to do that. And you've got to have faith in those cornerbacks that they are going to make a play. And I think that's one of the reasons why Kentucky has only got 1 interception this year, is the fact that, or 2 interceptions this year, and not getting a whole lot of turnovers, is because they're playing a lot of zone coverage instead of man. And in zone, it's kind of like those people find the soft spot, you let them catch it, then you tackle them. Whereas in man, you can force the defense, or you can force that offense into a lot of turnovers that way.
Jeff, we've had a lot of discussion this week about the Kentucky's approach to the Chattanooga game, and the fact that and I think Cone realized after the game it was the wrong approach. But I mean, when you don't start Rodriguez, I guess he started the first play at wide receiver, but Kabasie Smoke was the one who got most of the carry. I mean, you're sending, I think Chris only carried the ball 6 times in the first half. Aren't you sending a message to your team that, hey, we can win this game easy. We're gonna use some other people.
Could you ever imagine playing a game for Adolph Rupp and he came out and said, Dan, we're going to let Mike and these other guys shoot the ball more this game, so we're going to use you as a decoy. You know what? We're just going to start with a smaller squad because we can win this game without you scoring 30 points. Could you ever imagine that? Because I've heard the stories when a couple of guys took a couple shots and Adolph would call timeout and go, gentlemen, do you know who this man is right here? You know, am I right in saying that? Could
yeah,
you ever imagine
he said it to me.
Like that? I know you're good, Mike, but that's Dan Issel giving the damn ball, right?
That's right. And I know who he is, too, Coach, so I'm going to go out and pass to him, you know?
Jeff, that's exactly. because Adolph Rupp was a brilliant coach.
Yeah, you say that, but I don't think the other guy, the case and Pratt, would say, "Hey, yeah, we can shoot too." But so you, I think you're exactly right, Dan. I think you hit the nail on the head. You can't go into a game, and I don't care who you're playing, and you guys know this too. This John Calipari would say the exact same thing. You cannot go into a game saying, "Yeah, we're going to try to play Bo Allen maybe two quarters before the game starts." I've never heard a coach that would say something like that, that we're going to get some playing time for the guys. You're going to see some guys in there haven't got a lot of snaps. We're going to get some snaps for them. Because now that puts in the back of your mind, all we got to do is show up and we're going to beat these guys,
exactly.
Right? So I think it was the exact wrong mindset when you're going into a game. I think you go in there and say, guys, let's take this first quarter and we're going to score four touchdowns if we can. And then let the other guys
exactly.
play. But you can never say that before a game.
Yep.
Well, what does Kentucky have to do offensively? Are they going to – Stoops talks about a blended offense, okay, 50-50, and we know that's not going to happen. But doesn't sure. Kentucky, to win this game, have to run Rodriguez or Smoke just to death to keep South Carolina on the field and then throw in some passes? Shouldn't that be their offensive game?
This offense is predicated on running football because it's because of the style that they use offensively, which is a play-action pass, the fake into the line, pull it, and then throw it down the field. But to me, guys, this team has to play a clean game. They cannot have the pre-snap mistakes. They cannot have stupid penalties. They can't throw the ball to the other team, and they can't put the ball on the ground, which has been their problem in every game they played, yet they've been able to overcome that. Now that you're getting into some of these better teams, I mean, these next 4 weeks are going to tell you a lot about this team. I mean, you got Florida, you got Georgia, you got LSU, you got South Carolina. These guys have got to play a clean game. We haven't seen that yet. Will has got to learn to throw the ball away instead of trying to force it. He's got to learn to either just tuck it and run, I think, sometimes as well. And, you know, the running back's got to hold on to the football, and the receiver's got to catch the ball. I mean, a couple of interceptions, yes, they bounced out of the hands of the receivers. But, again, you've got to play a clean game, and it starts with having the mindset from the go, like you said, to run the football, because the best thing you can do to take the crowd out of the game is have a nice 12, 13, 14 play drive where you drive down the field and you end up scoring a touchdown, because that just takes it out of the defense, it takes it out of the fans too.
Pick, one more area of concern for me has been our special teams. We haven't played well. And Robinson, you know, coughed up that punt early on, and he's just started letting the ball bounce and giving up another 10 or 15 yards of field position. What's your opinion of our special teams?
You know, that's a great point. I had the great pleasure my first year when I was a freshman. We had a guy named Mike Saganos, and I remember Coach Kersey said, don't let that ball hit the ground, and he didn't care. He never – he made one – fair catch, and some fan yelled at him from the stands, you know, back at old, you know, the old stadium. It yelled at him and said, you know, you're a chicken, you know, you can get back there and raise my hand. He never again called a fair catch in his 3 years of returning punts. You can ask anybody that played with Mike Saganos. He was like kamikaze pilot. He didn't care. That's the attitude you've got to have back there, because that's hidden yardage. I mean, there were balls that were hitting at the 30, 25-yard line. They ended up inside the 10. You know, that's 20, 25 yards of offense that you're losing. You cannot do that. You've got to get up and catch the ball. I think that they figured out who their punter is going to be, right? I mean, last week, average over 50 yards a punt. So I think that's good. Kicking game is okay, but like you said, the return game, you're just not getting anything out of that in punts or kickoffs. You haven't really broke one yet. And
could they move Ali back there, Pick?
They could. I just think that, especially now that they're using Wandell in so many aspects of the offense, You could. I mean, Zach Johnson came back for his extra year as the kickoff return guy. But, you know, they're just not getting that scene yet. They haven't found one. And, you know, it's hard, man. You've really got to want to play special teams. You know, you've got to find those guys that have that I-don't-care attitude where, you know, they're going to go out there and give up their body. And again, it's just not clicking on special teams. And I don't know what that is. You got to find those guys, be it a starter, could be a walk-on, you know, that's out there that just wants to say, you know what, this is where I can shine. I get to play four plays a game, and it's on kickoff return or punt return or whatever. And I'll be darned if I'm not going to go 150% for those, you know, four plays that I'm out there on the field. And once you find those 11 guys that want to do that, then things can become special. But it's they finally have a real special teams coach instead of everybody kind of chipping in and doing it. I think that has a little bit to do with it. I think they're getting there. But, yes, I think they have to find something in that return game. And really, guys, they've got to force some more turnovers. I sound like a broken record saying that, but on the defense, they've got to be able to force some turnovers, and we just haven't seen that in this first start of this season, and it's got to come because you just have to have turnovers, especially when your offense isn't playing well like it was last week. If you get a turnover, and we saw the one big turnover ends up being a 95-yard touchdown. So if you can get those, that helps you so much in a game.
Well, Pick, we're going to let you go. I know you're trying to make your way to Lexington to get on that charter. But I would like to ask you for a favor because, sure. You know, Dan is a Cubbies fan, and you know I'm a Reds fan.
Uh-huh.
And when the season's over, with your background, those years you spent around the Reds, we've got to get you back and talk some baseball because our boys just did an accordion job that I haven't seen in a long time. And I'm interested in your thoughts. So if you'll come back and talk to us about that, we would appreciate it.
And Jeff, it's amazing to me that they folded like they have when their stadium is just packed every night.
It's kind of sit wherever you want when you go down to the game.
You know, a long, long time ago, Dampier and I were playing a game against the Dallas Chaparrals, who eventually moved to San Antonio and became the Spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
During the national anthem one night in Dallas, Louie and I counted the crowd. And that's exactly what you can do in the Great American Small Park these days.
It's amazing. Dad, we did that one time in Miami when we were playing the Marlins in batting practice. You could have handed out balls to everyone there and still had a whole bucket of balls left. It was amazing.
That's great.
But it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a lot more than an hour to talk about this fold job by this team. I'll tell you that.
Well, we hope you'll come back when the season baseball's over. And talk some Reds baseball.
Thanks, Jeff.
Any time for you guys. All right, guys. See you later.
Travel safe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. That scares me.
What's that?
I trust his opinion as much as anybody because I know how much he works at it, how much film he's watched, the preparation for this game that he's gone through. And if he thinks this is a toss-up game, that scares me.
Yeah. I mean, I think – The Cats have to get out on top, and I mentioned to him, and he confirmed my thoughts, they've got to grind it out. And
yeah.
He talked about doing a 12-13 play drive that takes the crowd out of it. And Rodriguez is a guy that can do that. We've got the line. And, of course, I would say that when that all starts, you will see South Carolina move up the linebackers. They might have 6-7 guys on the line. But that opens it up for the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Levis is the guy that then benefits from that, but they have to establish the running game.
Yeah, and the defense has to play a lot better.
A lot better.
That was an interesting take about the lining up because you know that's what I've seen and heard the opposition throwing those quick outs and you know eight or 9 yards down the field and they're. In anybody within 10 yards of the receiver. I mean, you can't line up eight or nine yards off the receiver and then back up at the snap of the football. So,
well, to your point, then if Kentucky faces a defense that is geared to stopping Rodriguez, which they really have to do,
right,
then that should open those little short passes for the Cats.
Yeah.
And then if that works, then Rodriguez gets a free pass. So
yeah.
Anyway, it'll be interesting.
Well, a reminder that this segment of Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel has been brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through the rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.